outside the box of religious obligation lies a road less travelled, into the heart of the Father's affection. Slinging freedom all over the place, this is the God Gym.
Sarah, I have a question for you now that you are gracing our podcast with your presence. I bumped into a new term this week that kind of caught me off guard, honestly. Have you heard of eyebrow blindness?
No.
Okay. So it is a new TikTok trend where they are posting all these pictures of different influencers and big name celebrities, whatever, are posting all these pictures of these awful eyebrow fashion statements over the years, whether it be the 90s or the completely eliminating the eyebrow and having them penciled or markered in, or the completely eliminating the hair and the tattoo, or the really, really thin ones. It's this whole thing now. And they're posting all these pictures of eyebrow trends. Hey, I'm a sociology teacher. I got to keep up with the trend somehow.
As a wise man said, the duration of this conversation has exceeded my interest in it. I hope that's not true for the rest of our audience. Hi, we have Sarah in studio today.
Hello.
And hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Glad to have her. We're going to talk a little trauma talk and the healing journey, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I heard a podcast a couple of weeks ago. I sent it to Kyle. It's called The Kidnapping I Can't Escape. Some of you have heard it already because I put the wrong link up last week and some of you went to this podcast instead of the one we referred to last week. So both links have been corrected, so you can get them in the right location now. But it brought some provocative thoughts to Sarah and I. We had a great discussion about it and thought it'd be fun to talk about with Kyle too. We are now 2 years and 2 months into our healing journey, even realizing Sarah had some trauma to deal with, which has been quite a shock.
Yeah.
And we were talking about that the other day. We were recording a podcast 2 years ago to tell our story. And what were we thinking?
I don't know. We were thinking, oh, we're close to being done. Wow.
My gosh.
That's a joke.
We thought we were well down the road when to tell your story. And now we realized it's kind of funny. It's like when you do a yard project and you think, okay, this is going to take me about 10 minutes. And 15 hours later and 40 piles of dirt and you're not even close to finishing it. So, turned out to be a little different than we thought.
Yeah, but if I knew the road that was going to be in front of me, I don't know. That would have been really kind of sad or eye-opening or maybe depressing or all of it.
Yeah, I think God's pretty smart. I'll show you just far enough down the road so you'll keep going.
Yeah.
That's been true a lot in my life. If I'd known where that decision was going to lead me, I thought it was going there. It turned out to go way over there somewhere. But man, I haven't regretted any of them.
Sir, I've had a question that has been kind of wrestling around in my mind since Wayne and I were talking last week. And what would you tell yourself 2.5 years ago now? Like if you were going to prepare yourself 2.5 years ago, or what would you want the 2.5 years ago version of yourself to know going into the season of healing and restoration that you've gone through over the last couple of years?
Would try to help myself have a patience and compassion and say that you've got it inside of you to do this. Now, whether I would believe that, but is another story, but it would be more to be able to encourage myself that I have it. I have the ability inside of me to do it.
With a little help from God.
Yeah, but it's more, if you don't want to face it and move on, you don't. You have to believe in yourself. And that can be just a little bit, just a little bit. I mean, there's tools and things that you need to help go along. But if you don't think you can handle it, you're not going to face it.
Do you think you doubted that 2.5 years ago when this all started? Did you doubt whether you had the stuff to get through this?
Well, I was kind of naive, I guess, even though.
Yeah, that's what I would think. Have a clue what it would take.
I didn't know I had trauma. It would be one thing for somebody who they remember what they had. That's mm-hmm. that's another totally question and level of handling and walking through. Me not knowing, there's a shock of it. I guess the that you've got it comes, and that can be able to build up a sense of compassion for yourself and not having to have a time frame or expectations. It's not like you build the courage and walking through it. If you really don't want to do it and don't think you can, I don't know if you have to have something inside of saying, I'm going to try to go for it.
Or I can get through this. Or saying to someone, you can get through this. You yeah. can. And you and God will be big enough to get through whatever throws our way. I have a question for you both, because I haven't identified trauma in my life yet. There may be loads, but I haven't seen it. But I heard this last week from someone that I'm kind of helping explore their trauma. And they said, they were talking about having to make concessions in their life because of their struggle with trauma and not being able to do certain things they would like to be able to do. And they asked me this, because I was talking about honoring your trauma. That's your phrase, Kyle, which I love. And Sarah and I have used it an awful lot. And she asked me this, is honoring your trauma a lack of faith?
Hmm. A lack of faith?
Yeah.
Mm-mm. I think it's giving. I think it honoring your trauma is having faith.
Is an act of faith.
Mm-hmm. And love.
Yeah, what she's saying is, you know, I should be further along. So if I'm making room in my life for this level of brokenness or struggle that I still have, then it's somehow demonstrating a lack of faith in Jesus, which we talked through, because she, that to me, that's not helpful, right? Yeah. It really is a faithful thing to be able to say, I can go this far and no further today. Or Sarah and I talk about the things we can't do right now because of what it would mean for Sarah and what it would add to her stress and her journey at a time we don't need to add that stress. So I think the honoring the trauma is a great gift of faith to say, this is where we are today. Hopefully we're not still here 2-3 years down the road, but we are. And so we're going to honor where we are.
Yeah. I actually was just having a conversation with a friend about this just literally yesterday, as they have been going through some pretty intensive personal healing and navigating some pretty significant life trauma stuff that they've been working through. And they've been talking about career and what does it look like to step back into career. And they took a break for a season of time from what they were doing and now have started to become interested again in stepping back into the career world. And yet they found themselves getting flooded a lot by the idea of either filling out a resume or full-time or part-time, or what kind of audience do I want to work with? They were presented with a job where they would be actually getting to work with and mentor and support students. And what does that look like? And yet the emotional capacity required to be able to give to those students and be able to help them and support them through their goals, that seemed overwhelming to them in comparison to doing like an office job or something that had more of a, not menial, but less emotionally loaded responsibilities in the job. And so that was really interesting, because they were going back and forth about it a lot, and they were struggling with, well, I should be able to do this job because this is what I would want to do and this is what I love doing. Mm-hmm. And yet the thought of it overwhelms me. But even just the thought of applying for that job floods me a little bit. I mean, what are your thoughts on that, Sarah?
Well, it could be at that point in time, they might want to do that job. Mm-hmm. I think it just goes back for me. What I've learned is to listen to my body. My body's feeling things, whether I acknowledge it or not. And I
whether
guess
you know or not what it's feeling. Yeah, your body even will.
Even if you're not acknowledging it, you're still living it. And so by acknowledging, at least recognizing how they're feeling. And I think if we start listening to our bodies and be in touch with that and try to look and see what is happening here, if it's a real negative experience or you're feeling, you know, trying to make a decision what is happening here, and to be able to, it takes you to a more deeper understanding of yourself. And saying, well, maybe I don't have it, because I've told Wayne at different times, I don't have it in me to do that, especially when we're on the road. Do I want to be in the meeting, or do I want to go back to the RV or something? I don't have it in me.
Yeah.
And it's listening to my body. My body's going to react. If I stay there, it's going to start reacting in ways that aren't really good for me. And so by going back, taking a step back to go back for myself, and that's where the self listening to yourself, self-care is also, I think, a way to be able to listen and find out what Father's asking you to do, or helping you do, or how you're in a healing process. And so by recognizing, okay, I want that job, or maybe I thought I want that job. Maybe the person ends up, that's not what they really would be happy with. I mean, that's,
yeah,
time will tell.
This is where religion doesn't serve us well, because the scripture, like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, would seem to encourage someone to say, I don't feel like I can do that job, but I can do it because God's in me. And then I put myself in places that are beyond the scope of his healing in me. And I think that's what honoring your trauma, or even honoring your healing, is. I'm here in the journey. I hear Sarah talk. It's not just the things that might trigger her. There's also places we've got to carve out for peace and relaxation and rest for Sarah, because we just went through a deep trauma memory.
Yeah.
And after that, she's just exhausted. She is mentally, physically exhausted. And so now we need to create space where we're not trying to do a lot. We're not hanging out with other people. We're creating the space for that rest to catch up with where she is. And I think it's a godly thing to say, yeah, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the long-term hope. The short-term, I've got to honor where I'm at in this journey.
Well, you find out what, I mean, it's about learning to navigate your own life and journey, and being able to find your window of tolerance and what you can and cannot stand or participate in. And that, I would assume, over you take over your years of life, that will change, and it goes up and down, whatever. For me, I know I need to be able to find a place that calms my heart, that where I'm calm and do things that are calming. My counselor the other day, she said, for the rest of your life, you need to do things that are calming. Because if it's not, then it's, there's a reaction internally for me, and I'm not in the space where my body is at peace. And I think Father wants us to find a place, and wants us to live in a place, and that's as unique to each individual. And that's why there's no steps in any of this. There's no right and there's no wrong, because it's unique to what you and Wayne and anybody listening.
You made the comment, Sarah, that my body is responding in ways that aren't necessarily good. And the first thought that went through my mind was, actually, I think that is your body being kind to you. Like I think about some of my own reactions where I'm experiencing like either the anxiety or the racing thoughts, or even like I've been having this sensation almost like restless leg syndrome, where like my entire body feels like the nerve endings are on fire. Like I just am twitching and kind of jittery, and just listening to myself and saying, okay, that is outside of my window of tolerance, and being kind to myself and recognizing, okay, my body is giving me a cue that I'm either I'm bumping up against the edge of my window of tolerance, or I have exceeded it and I'm outside of it, and I need to bring myself back into that. And it's okay. Like for me anyway, I find myself gravitating towards being very hard on myself, especially the younger version of myself, for having a smaller window of tolerance, instead of saying, no, this is okay. This is where I'm at. This is the space that I'm in. And all of those shoulds of I should be here, or I should be more healed, or I should be farther down the road than this, or I thought this was resolved. None of that is helpful to being able to stay in that kind, peaceful space to myself and to my own heart.
And that doesn't help for you learning and working on it to get through it. I mean, that it kind of can keep you stuck.
But there's a difference too. And I'd love your thoughts on this, Sarah, between having our feeling the tension of our window of tolerance being expanded. So like increasing our resilience, increasing that threshold versus knowing I'm outside of that window. Because I've for me over the last few months, God's been taking me into seasons where or things where it's been stretching. Like I felt the tension of, ooh, I'm getting close to the edge, but it's actually building an increased level of resiliency and trust in Father and in that healing versus other times where it's like, okay, I am way outside my window. I've got to start doing and using some of the things and skills that God has given me to be able to get back in that window because I have full on long jumped out of my window of tolerance.
Well, don't you think it's maybe a combination of both of those? Because this last month, it's been a very dark, deep space with a very hard memory. But the memory, it's taken me to a deeper understanding. It really takes me into the deepest of the depth of my soul and how and why I react. And so partly I am being thrust into a memory, which has been eye-opening, but eye-opening also comes with a lot of pain often, not necessarily always. But in the midst of doing that, I am beyond, or I am pushed to my limits and stretched, but it's taken me to a deeper place. So it might be a combination of both, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, one of them is you pushing yourself in a physical way that's causing more tension. The other is there's things happening in you that are pushing you to your limit, but you don't have really the freedom to stop that, right? That memory coming and I want to shut it off and, you know, ignore it. I guess you could ignore it, but
a lot of people, they don't want to face some of it when they come. And then, you know, unfortunately, I mean, like I said, I would never judge anybody because I know to face it, you have to sit with it. You have to go through it. You have to feel the pain. You have to work through it. And sometimes it comes with a lot of challenges and in getting through it, I'm having to have a deeper look at myself and how I respond and how I think about this person and trying to step back and have a more objective look at everything around. I mean, there's a time for understanding what was done to you, but then also turning around and also looking at the other person's life and what their life may have been like. And trying to piece all those together into one picture.
Yeah. It's hard to stop that process. I think the one thing about honoring my trauma is not I'm going to ignore my trauma so I can stay in a quiet place. It is I'm honoring the fact that it's taking an awful lot of energy right now. So I'm cutting down in other areas of my life.
Yeah.
Let's get to this podcast because the podcast is not that outstanding, to be honest. It's called The Kidnapping I Can't Escape. We'll put a thing here. It was actually an article in the New York Times that someone was reading, and we'll put a reference to that if you want to look at it. But what I was entrenched by, this is about a woman who had been through a horrible trauma at the birth of her first child at the hands of an obstetrician that was less than moral. Let's say it that way. Okay, keep the thing PG. And she had her father's friend when she was growing up in the neighborhood had been kidnapped for ransom, and he had a trauma of his own. And she was writing an article about his kidnapping and then realized that she'd had it on her own. It made her face her own trauma in ways. And I wanted, when I read some of these statements, to go, okay, I'm going to ask Sarah about this. I want to see how she feels about it. She said she thought she was writing a book on inheriting money. That's what her intent was. And she said somewhere we realized it was a book about a different kind of inheritance, the legacy of trauma. She said, maybe I had to think I was writing about money in order to find myself examining trauma again, because nothing had truly changed in all this time except the swell of my shame that I was still in this state. That made me really sad when I heard it on the podcast at first, and then I played it for you later so we could talk about it. But man, it seemed like nothing had truly changed in her trauma except the swell of her shame. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I was asking Sarah. I mean, I feel like over 2 years, 2 months, you've made tons of progress against what's going on in you. And I don't see shame attaching itself to you.
On one of the podcasts back, one of the ones where my horribleness, or I would say that's probably is, I would say the shame that I have felt my whole life, shifted to the perpetrator and who was doing that to me. And at that point in time, the shame was gone. I knew that father. And so for me, that was gone. That's where listening to your body, you have to face and learn to hear what your body is thinking or internally. Because I know when I have talked with my counselor at times and I'll say, I don't know. And she never lets me. I mean, she always stops. You do know. Your conscience knows. She says, stop and just sit with it. And she will be quiet for however long it takes for me to at least to listen to myself and understand. And then we talk through it. Because you're not wanting to spend the time, or you don't want to, or maybe you don't want to know. It's listening. It's learning to listening and recognizing. And I think that's how, that's why it's, we in society, maybe we aren't allowed to let ourselves listen to ourselves, or we doubt ourselves, but to know that you know, and you just sit quietly, be at peace, at rest with yourself.
Especially when you're ashamed about something, that's something you don't necessarily want to talk about or think about or whatever. I mean, shame makes us hide from it, which is a power of shame. What about you, Kyle? I mean, as we talk about it, I feel like you don't carry a shame about the trauma that you experienced or the fact that you're dealing with it.
The fact that I'm dealing with it, probably not. I don't think I experience a lot of that. The feeling of the swelling shame in regards to why am I still dealing with this, or why is this still here? I would say that is an off and on battle for me. At times I'm doing really well. And then at other times I really get hit with frustration, despair, anger, shame in regards to, okay, I've talked about this. Why am I still holding on to this? What is going on here? Why, Father, I thought this was untangled a long time ago. And yet there's that deepening, that richening of the healing process. And I really think like this is where fast food version of Jesus does not serve us well at all.
Yeah.
I mean, especially in the whole Redding, California charismatic movement that a lot of my friends and community were connected to. It really set them up for some extreme pain and disappointment, because the model was shown of, oh, there's going to be instantaneous healing. Like, as long as you have enough faith, or you pray the right things, or, you know, or you get prayed over by the right person because they have special favor with God, then it'll be an instantaneous fix. It'll be this quick heal. And they point to passages in scripture where there's like this instantaneous healing, and God, and they just stand up and walk, or they're instantly healed of whatever affliction that they have. And it's not that I don't think God can do that. And it's not that I don't think that there, even in my own life, there have been huge leaps of progress that I can point back to. And yet in general, it's day-to-day life experiences of relationship, trust, a deeper understanding of love and identity that comes in just rich fellowship, kinship, knowing that happens over years, not seconds.
Yeah.
And it's sad if you can't relax into that process. She goes on and said, the shame that I was still in this state, not trauma, but post-trauma in its own discrete nightmare, where self-awareness doesn't ever seem to ameliorate its symptoms. And I do think what I see in both of you is a sense of progress. What I'm hearing here is, man, she's not made headway, so she's still dealing with it, right?
Yeah.
And she goes on to say, maybe I was always headed right here to this moment where I could finally revisit my trauma, which obviously she hasn't done, to make snow angels in it. Which I thought, okay, that's a funny image. So it's the only place where I'm truly comfortable, as if for a moment I could stop using all my energy to pretend that my own life wasn't kidnapped from me that day. And that pretending thing really stood out to me, that I've got to pretend that that didn't happen. And I, again, the religious mindset, the instantaneous healing kind of thing you just talked about, Kyle, is that we end up having to pretend that I'm not having what I'm having, that I'm not facing what I'm facing, that God has not fixed what I'd want him to fix yet, whether it's trauma, whether it's some kind of sin in my life that I'm struggling, appetite I'm struggling with, or even a physical ailment. I talked to a brother this morning, a good friend of mine, who's, boy, since 92 is kind of on a downward trend of losing his hearing, losing his eyesight, and he's in his early 80s now. This has been going on a long time. And I asked him today, just we hadn't been in the conversation, I said, do you ever get frustrated? Do you pray for healing? He said, I stopped praying for healing a long time ago, not because I don't believe God can't heal, but because when he's ready and if he wants to, or whenever that's important for me, it will come. I'm not going to waste the energy pursuing it. I think we all know people who have wasted years of their life mm-hmm. pursuing a healing that never came, or some kind of miracle that they were wanting mm-hmm. God to do, and it didn't happen. And the harder they seek and the more desperate they get, the more ineffective their prayers seem to be. Mm-hmm. It's not like that lends itself to God's working. It's more of a kind of an indulgent, I'm going to find my way into this thing, or it's my responsibility, or the shame of I haven't got it yet. So the fact that I don't see well, or I need hearing aids or whatever, is somehow a proof of my lack of faith in God is absurd. But I know people who believe that to the extreme.
I was actually listening to a comedian that critiques the evangelical community through comedy. And he was talking about evangelical Christians recanting their books, and he was laughing about like what it would look like if, you know, if different authors recanted their books, and one of the authors that he highlighted was Rick Warren, and be like, he's standing up on his stage and he's like, there's no purpose in life, you know. Comedian pointed back towards Joel Osteen, and Joel Osteen stands on his stage and is like, yeah, over half of you are going to be really poor for the entirety of your life. You know? And I was talking about this idea of these perceptions that are built, instead of just being able to rest in the idea and the relationship of who Father is in this healing process, because it's like, oh no, there's, if I don't have a purpose in my life, or if I don't become wealthy, or if I don't get healed, whatever it is in the camp that you're in, that they've built up this perception of, this is the measure of faith, or this is the measure of your relationship with God, or this is the measure of you being a good Christian or a wholehearted Christian. And it doesn't give you space to be able to relax into the relational process of God's healing, because there are times where I'm doing great, and then there are other times where it's like, man, I feel like I just launched back 10 years ago in my healing. I know I haven't,
yeah,
but obviously the Holy Spirit's picking up some pieces back there that hadn't gotten picked up yet, or that were still left laying there that needed to get picked up. If I didn't know somewhere in me that his process is good and that he is trustworthy, man, I have really got upended by not being down the monumental spaces that I'm supposed to be in whatever healing capacity or whatever measure I'm using to determine how well I'm doing.
What?
She continues, that's how the traumatized life goes, I guess. You work your whole life to overcome the terrible thing that happened to you, only to get to the end of it and find that the overcoming it was your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, the vine you rest beneath is that you get to stop working so hard to pretend
you
might put it behind you. I'm glad I've learned that now, because I'm telling you, the sheer amount of energy it takes to pretend that I'm over anything is killing me.
Yeah.
That's where we got kind of a nice exhale when we were talking about that day, that there is some pressure at times that you want to be over it. You want to pretend you're over it. You want to act like you're over it. And the energy it takes to do that is just killing me. And that goes back to what we talked about, honoring your trauma and just being able to be honest about where I'm at in the journey, and trust that whatever God wants to do, whatever the Holy Spirit has in mind, it'll continue to unfold as we relate to him, not as we shift our focus from following Jesus to getting the healing or freedom or whatever that I'm pursuing.
I mean, if you have trauma and deal with it and process it, doesn't necessarily mean that when something happens, but it might not have a little ouch or a ting to it that causes like, a feeling or emotion or a sensation or a doubt or disappointment. And so it's realizing that it is there, giving place to it, like what you'd say, Kyle, honoring it in the fact and knowing that it's there. You may have dealt with it, but that doesn't mean that maybe every now and then something might just come and touch upon something that has resided very deeply in your heart. And at that point in time, just saying, and not if it can, we can get to a place where we're not frustrated with ourselves and say, okay, and listening to your body again, okay. And then sit with it, look at it, think about it, process it, and be able to say, I'm okay, and I'm going to make it through this, and be able to go on.
And not have to feel embarrassed about the fact that the process is still going on, right? Mm. That's what we talked about. Any weight of pretense, I don't need it, I don't want it. I want to be with the real Sarah and what she's going through on any given day. It's a relief, I think, in all of our lives. The Baptist thing growing up, be perfect as I am perfect. And that's the goal every day. And when you fall short of it, you got to spend your time confessing and repenting at night. So you make sure all that gets forgiven. And then you try again the next day. And instead of, like I've said in past podcasts, if I'd known what God would still be working out in my life 70 years into this journey, I would have been so much more relaxed going down it. And I think by being relaxed, I would have been further down the journey. Instead of wasting so much effort trying to do it myself and finding out that my efforts are trying to seek my way into it or being embarrassed that I'm not further along or trying to pretend to be somewhere in Jesus that I'm not, which I haven't done a lot of in a number of years, but I used to when I was much younger. You've got to pretend to have answers you don't have and pretend to know stuff you don't know. To have the freedom to be in process with him, whether it's trauma, just transformation, whether it's healing, whether it's whatever. And trust that this is a lifetime process with Jesus. He didn't plan to finish it by the time you were 25 or 35 or 45.
Recently, the last, I would say, 6 to 8 months, the memories that I have come have taken me to a very or more deeper, intense, because they go more down to the depths of my life and what I believe about myself and how I live. And so I think, even through our lifetime, as we go and learn and walk and process, we're facing them down the road. Aren't we maybe at a point where we are dealing with it at a deeper level and getting more where Father is wanting to touch and heal in our hearts?
And all the while becoming a more beautiful person, even if it's not all done over there. What is getting done is beautiful. And the mix of struggle and freedom, it's beautiful the way God does it.
It is. And I mean, even just last week, I had some major personal breakthrough. And my missile silo, my bunker, it's still there. And that's okay.
Yeah.
But in this breakthrough, in this healing process, the door got replaced from being a 6-foot thick wall of concrete that had massive hinges on it and huge steel bars to a sliding glass door. Mm. So the bunker's still there, but access in and out is a lot more free. And it's not as confining and sealed as it was. And like this morning I was journaling about that and I was like, okay, Lord, that is exciting to me that it's like, okay, yeah, the bunker's still there. That's okay. That's fine. But there, instead of there being this massive, huge, thick door that you have to use a tractor to pull open, they're sliding glass doors instead, and that's okay.
And maybe someday we'll take the doors off, and then we'll walk out at will.
Yeah, mine was where one of my perpetrators became smaller and sitting in his chair, and he's kind of like, well, like, honey, I shrunk the kid size, and he's sitting there, and it's been like that for a long time. So the power is gone, or else my house and everything, it's kind of like everything's contained in the ball to where I can kind of just set it aside. Mm. It's all different. And that's where it's so sweet and special and unique for every individual.
Let's go back 7 centuries. Julian of Norwich, who is a mystic woman who had some visions and things.
Okay.
One thing she said, which I think really applies to this, which is really cool, she said, we need not worry if we cannot find God or find our healing or find final freedom from trauma or whatever. She said, we need not worry if we can't find God, for we are only responsible for seeking. No formula exists for finding. The revelation of the divine presence is always unpredictable and surprising.
I like that.
We get to seek, we get to follow, but we're not responsible for having found. And if there's things unresolved in us yet by the work of Jesus, which is true of all of us, then I don't have to, like, it's my fault. I didn't do something right. I should. And that's what religion kind of does to us. It's, if you still have a need, or you still struggling with sin, or you still struggling with a broken place in your life, you should have been past that by now. And if you had faith, and if you had, no, it's where we get to seek, we get to ask, we get to follow. But there is no prescription to say, okay, because I've asked and because I've sought, I should have gotten the outcome or that I want or need or think I need. Mm. If we could relax in this process, I think it'd be so helpful for people, instead of white knuckling our way and feeling like my white knuckling it will bring healing / freedom / whatever faster.
If you can just be content to let things unfold.
Yeah, embrace him and embrace the process, I think. And That's a beautiful thing, because I look at two years and 2 months, and I see such incredible progress in your journey that even when new things come up and it kind of stumbles around for a bit, I'm going, this is nothing compared to where you were.
Well, that's for you to say, not necessarily for me to say.
It is easier for the outsider,
yeah.
Outside observer to go, man, there's such great progress here in 2 years. Mm. So I think that can help with people who kind of get a little impatient in the process to go, hey, look where you have come.
Yeah, but it did. I mean, those days were kind of dark, and for me,
in the early days or the last month?
The last month.
Oh, of course they were. I wouldn't minimize that. I was like, hey, baby, don't worry about this. No,
I'm just saying. I mean, I'm taken back and just like, well, you're not thinking, maybe someday I'll get used to it. It doesn't matter if I'm taking it or I'm shocked by it. You know, it's just, we can just take life as it unfolds and just, okay, today's got enough for us to worry about. Don't worry about tomorrow.
Sounds like something Jesus would say.
Oh, yeah.
Echo of familiarity to that.
The constant pursuit of what we think we need to get from God is not the same as growing in trust that God will take care of us. And the scripture you hinted at there from Matthew 6 is exactly that. Don't be preoccupied with getting. You can't respond to God's giving. What he's doing today in you is where the journey thrives, not what I want him to do in me that he may not be doing yet or may not do ever in this side of eternity.
Yeah, true. I just know that over this last month, the one memory that came, but then now working through it, seeing my life and having a deep understanding and compassion for myself at a young age in what I had to face. But then in order to get through the healing, to step back or away and looking at the other person's life and being able to have more of an understanding of what might they have been dealing with at that point in time, to not make it as any kind of judgment and not diminish what was done to me, what they did to me, but also to be able to have a deeper understanding that what they were experiencing or their lives, and to say, okay, it's a sad life in which happened to me, but then also maybe it's a sad life on which happened to them. They had a sad life, and to give them grace and also grace for me, and just to be more objective, to be able to get past and not let animosity or anything that I might have towards them. It's more about letting it be giving me a freedom to be able to say, okay, and then look at it and then move on.
A year ago, you weren't ready to make that kind of statement. That statement itself is a sign of all the progress that God's made in you.
It's recognizing that that person had a sad life too. Yeah. And having compassion for them, it's a way to be able to inside of me have a peace, because I'm past this. And it's more looking at what have I created for myself today, where I am today, what's my life like? My life is good. My life is the place in which, you know, the house and the home and the gardens and the just life, and internally too. What it does, it's made me have more confidence in myself and a sense of, I hate this, but being proud of the achievement in which I have come through in my life. An acknowledgement internally of the biggest gift in which I have done for myself and for my family. For I have broken the generational sexual abuse hold in that family. And so knowing that, that's an achievement and that's a gift, and there's a satisfaction. And it's just like, okay, in this journey, I'm doing that and I've done that.
Wayne, you talk about like looking at the world through the knot hole of our pain. And it's like God begins to address that knot hole and begins to expand our view of both ourselves and the world around us. And for me, that's when I first noticed like there being a significant shift in my relationship with my dad. God healed and expanded that knot hole enough to where I started to have compassion for him as well. I started to recognize and honor his own humanity and his own struggles that he's gone through, and began to view our relationship through a more holistic perspective. So still saying, yeah, that hurt, that sucked, that was painful, I did not enjoy that, that had lasting implications on my life. And yet also acknowledging he was doing the best he knew what to do with what he had. He had his own trauma and stuff that he was navigating. Mm-hmm. He has a deep love for me and a courage to try to stand and parent the best he knew how he could parent with the inspiration and experience that he had. And so to be able to have that holistic picture has been able to build a relational bridge between he and I. Even the breakdown that we had 4 weeks ago, he and I worked through it. We sat down and had the conversations. We were able to hear one another's pain, hear one another's in-process worldviews, and the way that he experienced it and the way that I experienced it and what my heart was and what his heart was. That conversation would have never been able to happen unless God was able to expand that perspective and bring more of a holistic understanding of our perpetrator or of the person who has deeply wounded us.
Is that kind of like an example of what forgiveness does?
Yeah, I think so.
It's a picture of the gospel. If you loved well, you'll love well. The more Sarah has compassion for herself, the more she has compassion for folks, even the ones that hurt her. Which, and you're saying the same thing, Kyle, and I think that's a beautiful picture of what Jesus said, man, love one another as I've loved you. So the whole self-compassion thing that people think is selfish, until you find self-compassion, you won't find it for other people.
I can always tell when Sarah comes, is beginning to get free from the most recent battle. She has a way of laughing that's musical. And it, like for the last month, I haven't heard it at all. And the last few days, I hear it fairly frequently. And we'd like to believe this is the last memory. We're all done now. Thank you, babe. But we have no idea. We have no idea what's next and what still needs to unfold. But it's a beautiful story.
Thank you for traveling with us today on The God Journey. You can join this conversation by visiting thegodjourney.com.